From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, a large coalition of leaders, including several governors, are calling upon Congress to revisit the repeal and replace of Obamacare by removing the costly federal bureaucracy and block granting it to the states. As supporters say, the sharp rise in health care premiums are enough to give someone a heart attack. This move will put health care costs on an affordable, sustainable track. What's the prognosis of Congress fixing the severely ailing system? Well, one of the governors backing the reform, our good friend Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant, will be here in just a moment. And by 20 votes, the House failed to pass a comprehensive immigration reform bill today. The vote on a second bill was postponed until tomorrow. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus, will be here later with the latest. Also, earlier in the week, we discussed the news that the Southern Impoverished Law Center was forced to pay out over $3 million in a defamation case. Could the anti-Christian organization that has been raising millions of dollars as it attacks conservative Christian organizations be at risk for more defamation suits? Former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, who focused on defamation cases, joins us later here on Washington Watch. And yesterday, just as we were wrapping up the program, a caller, Jordan, prompted the conversation, or at least the start of a conversation, about the Christian response to immigration. We were unfortunately not able to finish, so today I asked the president of the Oklahoma Wesleyan University, Dr. Everett Piper, to join me for a continuation of that conversation. I believe it'll be an insightful one. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, as I mentioned, as we're coming up to the end of our fiscal year, I just want to underscore, we have the greatest opportunity that I think I've seen in my lifetime to advance biblical, traditional, constitutional values here in our nation's capital and across America. But folks, we urgently need your help to seize this moment and to keep programs like Washington Watch continuing. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end at midnight, June the 30th, there's some friends of FRC that have offered a matching challenge that will double your gift. So anything you give between now and the end of this month, we got about just a few days left up until next week, everything you give will be doubled. And all you have to do is give us a call. Call us. We've got folks standing by to take your phone call right now, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, or you can give online, TonyPerkins.com. And just remember, this program is made possible because of folks like you all across America that are standing with us. All right, a growing number of leaders believe it is time that Congress provide relief from Obamacare's higher cost and reduced choices, a solution that will protect the sick without burdening the healthy and driving them out of the insurance market, which is happening. And the premiums continue to go up and up and up. Now, in some corners of the Republican Party, there still remains hope and interest in the repeal of Obamacare, an effort that has been spearheaded by former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. He's been meeting with conservative leaders and organizations for several months now to craft a way forward. And it has the support of a number of conservative governors who say we must address the rising cost of health care. And one of those is with us now, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you. And look, I just heard about what you're doing with Washington Watch and the match, and I just hope people hear that. What you are able to do with your radio programs, reach out across America and give encouragement to conservatives, those of us that are still in the real world and those that are in the political world that need realigning. If they've lurched to the left a little bit, Washington Watch and your guests can help and your listeners help pull them back to the right where they need to be. So just thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for giving this message across America.
Well, Governor, thank you for that. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you coming on the program because you're one of those governors that each and every day fighting for the values that we care about, and that includes getting health care or access to health care to the people of Mississippi. I mean,
absolutely.
You've seen with each passing year of Obamacare, the health care insurance premiums have been rising. I mean, in the first 4 years, I was like 105%. I mean, you guys need help.
We do, because if you're looking at a state with a lot of low to moderate income families, we're your state. And so what Obama promised when he took over a third of the economy, and if you remember, if I'm correct, by only one vote and then a very liberal Supreme Court, was it ruled to be constitutional. Many of us still think it was an unconstitutional act. And you remember Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we've got to pass it before we see what's in it. Well, now we know what's in it. Higher premiums, poor service, totally absence of choice. In the state of Mississippi, you're looking at a silver plan that went up about 48%, a bronze plan that went up 32%. I like to say that it went up higher than the precious metals that it was named after. And so we've got one provider in the state of Mississippi, so no competition means higher prices, and that's what's happening. The young people like my children in their early 30s are paying huge prices if they're on an exchange for Obamacare. It has failed in every measure that you could possibly grade for a healthcare third-party provider. And so what we've done is Rick Santorum and I are – we're sort of dinosaurs, you know. We don't ever go away. You may think, well, it's gone, and all of a sudden they're back. But we just will not give up. We, 8 years ago, we said as Republicans, we are going to repeal and replace Obamacare. And we elected a House of Representatives by a Republican majority, I think solely or to a large extent based on that. If I tell the people of the state of Mississippi I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And they know that, and I think this president is the same way. It may surprise a lot of people, but the president has not given up on it. We were with the White House yesterday talking about this. Senator Santorum and Governor Matt Bevin and I were at the Hoover Institute. And we are going to do this from grass level. We're going to do this with the grassroots from the bottom up and bring pressure to bear from the people, the good people of this nation that understands this has to be done. And we think that there will be a lot of people that are now suffering through the Obamacare nightmare that will join us, that didn't vote for the president, probably didn't vote for me, didn't vote for Rick Santorum or Matt Bevin, but they understand what we're trying to do is the right thing to do about a new health care choices proposal.
Now, Governor Bryant, address this issue, because I know there's some people out there getting scared. They don't have very much, but they're holding on to what they have. And they've been, every time we hear this talk about replacing it, there are those on the left and the media want to scare people, saying it's going to take away their health care. This plan actually addresses those that have the most significant health care situation so that they will be covered. Nobody will be left outside.
No, that's it.
What it does, it gives it back to the states to be innovative through block grants, which we have found works very successfully.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what it does. It gives those block grants to a governor who has the direct responsibility to take care of the truly needy. Tony, I mean, that's the important part, not the able body, not those that need to be in a workforce training program, or that hopefully can get a job in America now that we've got 40,000 job openings in Mississippi. I had 700,000 people on Medicaid. I know I've got at least about 15,000 who are able-bodied. So we are going to make sure that as a block grant state that did not expand Medicaid, that this goes to people who truly need it. People with existing conditions will be covered. You will get away from the high cost of Obamacare and do away with it. We will get the federal government out of your health care. Just imagine that. This plan will take the federal government out of health care, except for writing the check, except for looking at Mississippi and saying, here's your population, here's your income for the state per diem income, and we're going to be able to block grant the state of Mississippi. 150% of it goes towards supporting people's purchase of private health care coverage. So the other thing is the dignity of someone who is getting support from the state of Mississippi to go and make the best deal they can in the open marketplace in the private sector. And 50% of it goes to low income so that that the orphans, the truly needy, those that are on the CHIP program, those children, the widows, the disabled will be taken. taken care of as the founding fathers, I believe, even in the earliest part of this nation, said, let's look at the widows. Let's look at the orphans. Look at those that are disabled and help them. And the rest of us need to go to work.
So to summarize, these the principles that are put forth yesterday as you were there with Governor Bevin and Senator Santorum and a host of others. I mean, there's a large group that have signed on to this, including
the Heritage Foundation.
FRC has signed on to it. This will reduce cost over the long run. It's going to get a handle on these rising premiums. It's going to give more choices to the consumer. It's going to bring it closer to where the people are through the states. And it's going through CHIPS, which means that this issue that we've been dealing with since Obamacare came into being about funding abortions, that goes away. No longer.
That goes away. Amen.
Right.
Ends federally funding of abortions. Once and for all.
And of course, through this process of using reconciliation, we didn't talk about that, but that's the vehicle through which this will be done. Just as you said earlier,
right.
It fell last time as it was going through, one vote, McCain didn't vote
One thumbs down stopped us from achieving what we had promised the American people would take place. So you know the system, Tony, and I know it's a little perplexing to the average voter out there, that the reconciliation and all those. But what it basically does is says a simple majority. So
right.
As I appreciate it, you're looking at 51 votes to be able to pass this bill using the CHIPS program. And if we can hold every Republican, and look, you will hear some that will say, you know, I don't like a portion of it, and so I'm going to vote against it. And look, I get that. I'm a purist myself, but we have to now make a decision. Are we going to end, or are we going to repeal and replace Obamacare with something I might not like 100%, but I'm about 96% on this plan? I'll take that any day of the week, because the outcome is it gets worse and worse.
Well, that's right. Governor, it's not unlike the situation with immigration that's been kicked down the road for 20 years, and now it's a crisis, and you've got to deal with it. And this is the same thing. The health care, I mean, this is going to be more of a crisis, because it's going to hit almost every home in America is going to be facing this if
that's
we
right.
don't
and
do
this,
something soon.
This bill would end Medicaid expansion. So let's just say that, and I hope we don't, but if we lose a Republican governor, and a Democrat comes into that seat, the first thing they're going to try to do is expand Medicaid. If it's a non-expansion state, they're going to say, I was elected as a Democrat, we're going to expand Medicaid. And so you've got another, how many other thousands of people in what was a Republican state now expanding Medicaid. We've got to end that. We can't afford it. This bill does that.
Governor Phil Bryant, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Thank you. God bless you, Tony, for what you do.
All right. Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi, a great American. And by the way, through this process, it will also lead to the defunding of Planned Parenthood. All right. Not only will all abortion funding cease, but no longer will we be funding organizations like Planned Parenthood. All right. Coming up next, a conservative GOP immigration bill was defeated earlier today by 20 votes. When we return, we'll talk with Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio about what happened and what's next. Don't go away. Back with more Washington Watch after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic. And we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is here to help with answers and insight from our experts. Our work in Washington, D.C. is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any issue that FRC stands for, issues like life, marriage and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line. We'll consider your question, and you may also have a chance to be published on our blog. Again, that address is frc.org/askfrc. Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And by the way, as I mentioned, that match still going on through the end of the fiscal year. Anything that you give toward keeping Washington Watch on the air will be matched. It'll be doubled. And we've got folks standing by to take your call, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. Or you can also give online, TonyPerkins.com. All right, the House defeated the first of two GOP immigration bills earlier today, this one favored by conservatives. The legislation would have mixed a narrow legalization for Dreamers with a major boost in border and interior enforcement. Well, next up for a vote is a more moderate bill, quote-unquote compromise, although many argue that the first bill was a compromise. The second bill combines a full pathway to citizenship for Dreamers and other immigrants with less comprehensive enforcement measures. With us now is Congressman Jim Jordan. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Ohio. He is the founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus. He also serves on the Committee on the Judiciary and Oversight and Government Reforms Committee. Congressman Jim Jordan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, good to be with you, buddy.
All right. So, what do we read into the failure of this first immigration bill?
I mean, I think a couple of things. One, it was just a boat short. So, in simple terms, if our leadership would have put the same intensity behind whipping this and getting the votes for this, I think we could have passed the bill that is consistent with what we told the American people we were going to do, what the president told the American people we were going to do. And that's what's unfortunate, because we were so close. You 193 votes. We only needed about 200 and I think 21 votes, 214 to pass today. So that's a disappointing thing. If we'd have put the same effort our leadership had, I think we could have got this done.
So why did they not support it? Given the situation we have now on our southern border, there's a crisis. We've got to deal with immigration.
Yeah, that's the big question. I don't know. We've been pushing them for months. The fact is, this bill said, let's build the border security wall like we all campaigned on. Let's end chain migration. Let's stop the visa lottery. Let's reform our asylum law, which is a key issue right now when you see what's happening on our border. Let's get rid of the sanctuary city policy that some of these cities have. Let's do all those things that are consistent with the mandate of the election, consistent with what we promised the American people we would do if they put us in power. And then let's also address the DACA population. That is common sense. That's a piece of legislation that the American people strongly agree on, and we were just a few votes short today, which is unfortunate.
Well, I know there's a little backstory here, too, because conservatives were pushing for this vote even before this current crisis arose.
We stopped the farm bill, Tony, several weeks ago because there was this discharge petition, which we all know would have led to a really bad outcome on immigration, a bad piece of legislation with a handful of Republicans and all the Democrats supporting that would have went to the Senate. We were trying to stop that. So we stopped the farm bill. The Freedom Caucus members did. We stopped that. We said we need to vote on the right kind of immigration bill, the right kind of legislation that is entirely consistent with the pledge, the promise, the words we told the American people we would do on this issue. And that was the bill we had today. And yet, like I said, we were 21 votes short.
And by the way, the farm bill passed after that vote by, I think it passed by one vote.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
And that was, we said, look, if we can bring up this bill and have a chance of passing the right immigration bill, then we're willing to allow the farm bill to pass. If the good welfare reform starts, it's in that bill on work requirements for food stamp recipients. So that did pass. But unfortunately, the immigration bill did.
Well, you kept your word, and you guys supported the bill when it came up. Maybe next time in your negotiations with the leadership, you need to throw in that they need to actually support the bill and whip it.
One member of leadership voted against, which I don't get that.
Where does that leave us with this bill that is going to be voted on tomorrow, which is compromise bill? I mean, I can't see conservatives voting for it.
No, we're not. I'm certainly not, because this is not consistent. There's some good elements in it, some things that move the ball in the right direction. But, I've said it several times. I say it every time I'm on your show. I say it every time I speak to in public or in press. We make this job way too complicated, Tony. It's pretty simple. What did we tell the American people we were going to do when we ran for the job? They elected us and gave us the privilege to serve. Let's do that. And the first bill that went down by a few votes today would have accomplished what we said. This bill doesn't, and that, for me, makes it pretty simple.
I mean, this leaves us still, though, in a quandary when it comes to the immigration issue, because this is a crisis that is only being magnified and growing with each passing day. I mean, what's the future here?
Well, look, Congressman Meadows has a bill. Senator Cruz has a bill that would address the family separation issue, but at the same time, it would clean up our asylum law. I was with ICE and Customs and Borders in our office last week, and they told me that 80% of the folks seeking asylum in this country are actually not eligible when they go through the determination process. So they come here, they're coached to say, well, I have a credible fear of persecution in our own country. But when they go through the process, they can't prove that, and they're not actually eligible for asylum in our country. So think about that. 2,000 people a week coming to the border asking for asylum, that's 100,000 in a year. 80% of them, 80,000 of them, are not legit. So we need to reform our asylum law. And yes, let's keep families together, as the president said yesterday. Let's keep families together during that determination process.
Right. But enforce the law.
This is common sense. Adhere to the rule of law, but while you're doing it, keep families together. Who's against that? But Chuck Schumer is. Schumer has said he wouldn't support Senator Cruz's bill, would not support Congressman Meadows' bill. So this just goes to show that the Democrats just want the political issue. They don't want to solve problems. They don't want to keep families together. They don't want to reform our law. They don't want to adhere to the rule of law, and that's a problem.
Yeah, and it's a problem that's not going to go away. Congressman Jim Jordan, thanks for joining us. As always, great to talk with you. Thanks for your leadership on Capitol Hill.
Thanks, Tony. Take care.
All right, Congressman Jim Jordan of the 4th Congressional District of Ohio, as I mentioned, founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus, which actually originated in our conference room. Strong group of conservative leaders that are fighting for constitutional principles. It's disappointing. It is disappointing, folks, that the immigration bill failed today. I really was hopeful that it might pass, because it is a problem we have to deal with. All right, coming up next, as we reported earlier this week, the Southern Poverty or Impoverished Law Center settled on a multi-million dollar lawsuit. Well, nearly 50 groups are calling on organizations in the media to distance themselves. Are they at risk for more defamation cases? We'll talk about it with Ken Cuccinelli, former Attorney General of Virginia, coming up next. Don't go away.
Hello.
Alone, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic, and we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, Friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, yesterday, the Family Research Council joined a coalition of just under 50 other conservative leaders and organizations in releasing an open letter to government agencies, news organizations, corporations, and social media platforms to disassociate themselves from the Southern Poverty Law Center and its ongoing effort to defame and vilify mainstream conservative organizations. Earlier in the week, we reported on the fact that the SPLC had to hand over $3.3 million in a defamation lawsuit. Now, could they be at risk for more such suits? Joining us now is Ken Cuccinelli, who has handled defamation cases, and he is the former Attorney General of Virginia. And he is the president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always a pleasure to be with you, especially on a happy topic like this.
is this kind of a chink in their armor? Are they now vulnerable to more death?
No question about it. I mean, they've been vulnerable to this for a while. But here with a public settlement, it does sort of act like blood in the water for the sharks being all of us. FRC has been, of course, on most infamously the downside of this effort by the SPLC and their clear intentional efforts to destroy organizations. They're not trying to identify who are the good guys, who are the bad guys, who's for violence, who isn't. As their former communications director has been recorded numerous times saying, this was done to destroy organizations. It had nothing to do with truth, and it had nothing to do with public debate about the organizations or their quality from a constructive standpoint in our society. And so now the SPLC is very, very vulnerable to defamation lawsuits. All you need for a defamation lawsuit is a false statement that is defamatory, so it has to be both false and defamatory, and calling a group a hate group and trying to scare away donors and so forth surely meets that definition, and that they have to prove that they shared that defamation with somebody. If I come to you and say you are X, it was a defamatory statement, but it's about you, then I haven't shared it with anybody else. I haven't published the statement. But as soon as they say it to others, and that is the point of what the SPLC was doing. I mean, they were putting out lists of these so-called hate groups according to them. And so they were clearly publishing this information. And then all you've got to prove is that they acted at least negligently. And with the statements they've made about their desire to destroy organizations, they're way past negligence. This is intentional action on their part. So they are very, very vulnerable legally to all of these organizations that they have defamed in this way.
So, Ken, in this case with Majid Nawaz, who has a group that basically exposes Muslim extremists, and they put him, he's actually a Muslim, but they put him in their 2016 guide to anti-Muslim extremists. Was it, and this didn't even go to court, they settled before it even went to court.
Right.
Was it the perception here that is nonsensical, they're going after a Muslim for being anti-Muslim, and that they just they knew this wasn't going anywhere?
Sure. I mean, let's face it, some cases are easier than others, right? And here's a guy who set up an organization to oppose extremism in Islam, to support reform efforts within Islam. Yeah, they were dead to rights on this. SPLC was toast on this case. And so they may fight with a conservative group that they have labeled as a hate group where nothing has come out of it. We actually have to kind of leave the FRC experience aside because it's so unique by itself, with actual physical violence occurring. And look at the other groups who can all come in and can sue, and they can do it in their home court, if you will, their home states. These are state laws that they would typically sue under and probably get removed to federal court, but you're going to be in front of a jury. And what is a jury going to think of this when they see the video footage of the communications director of the organization saying, look, our point isn't to debate with these people, it's to destroy them. Those are the statements they've made, and I can only imagine what discovery would find in their email.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That opens them up to discovery as well.
Yeah.
So that may be another reason they don't want to go to court.
Absolutely. No, they desperately want to avoid discovery.
Of course, the one defense mechanism, or a big defense mechanism they have, is about $350 million that they're sitting on.
True, but that's also pretty attractive if you're suing them. When you sue somebody, you want them to be able to pay the judgment. And contingency lawyers who take a cut of the win, if you're the plaintiff, you don't have to pay your lawyer. You can hire a lawyer on contingency, and with that much money sitting with SPLC, lawyers will take those cases.
All right, well, I'm taking applications.
There you go.
All right, so. Ken Cuccinelli, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good to be with you, Tony. Stay well.
All right. To find out more about Ken, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Okay, I choked myself up there. All right, when we come back, Dr. Everett Piper joins me to continue a conversation we started yesterday about a Christian response to immigration. That's next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic. And we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, don't forget our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate will get a matching gift, so it'll be doubled. If you appreciate this broadcast, if you find it informative and you want to keep it going and want to expand it, well, this is time to take a stand with us. As I mentioned, everything you get between now and June 30th will be matched, so it'll be doubled. You can make your contribution, make your pledge, stand with us. Go to TonyPerkins.com or call. We have folks standing by, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. All right, yesterday, as we were coming to the end of the program, we had a caller, Jordan. Wanted to talk about the immigration issue and how to address this from a Christian biblical perspective, which was an excellent question. Unfortunately, we had like 60 seconds left in the program. But I think there's probably more people out there across the country wrestling with this issue since it's been in the news cycle 24/7. That's all that the media has been focused upon. And, of course, the images. If it doesn't strike at your heart, you're pretty hard-hearted. And so when the Scripture tells us, you know, throughout the Old Testament in particular, there's very clear guidance given regarding aliens. Deuteronomy, he who executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing, so show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. Leviticus, when a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Another verse from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 24:17. You shall not pervert the justice due an alien or an orphan or take a widow's garment in pledge. I mean, you see this theme throughout Scripture. It's beyond being contested that God has a heart and a compassion and wants us to do the same for those who, for the widow, the orphan, for the alien. Now, what are the things that they have in common? Well, in part, mainly, they were on their own. They were not, they didn't have the resources, didn't have the ability to defend themselves, and they were easily exploited. Sound familiar? And that's actually what's happening today with a lot of illegal immigration. They're being exploited, sometimes exploited by workers, being used as workers here in the country, undocumented workers, low wages, dangerous conditions, big business, some businesses profiting from that. We've seen this at the border, discussing the issue of children being trafficked. This has become a huge problem, especially with the lax enforcement of the law. So this is the balance we're trying to work with, is, all right, how are we compassionate, but at the same time upholding the rule of law? Because when you uphold the rule of law, you actually provide protection. Because when you don't enforce the law, it's actually an attraction for people to exploit others and to illegally cross the border. And we talked about yesterday with Dr. Lori Baker, you know, she said the conditions there are horrible and they're dangerous, but yet you see parents either sending their children with coyotes and others to get across, or bringing them across themselves. So how do we deal with this? Well, I wanted to continue the conversation. To help me do that today, I've asked Dr. Everett Piper. He is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University and is the author of the book, Not a Daycare. Everett, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, Tony, it's always a joy to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
And I know this is an issue that you have thought about, because, in fact, you have an article, I believe, coming out tomorrow in the Washington Times on this issue.
It is. You know, there's so many angles we can take. So let me just be very brief, and then I'll let you redirect. I think one of the things we need to do is get beyond the hysteria and the hyperbolic reactions. We need to deal with the facts and stop allowing our feelings and the emotions to dictate policy. For example, who among those that fancies themselves as open borders, a champion of social justice, doesn't lock his door at night? Do you leave your car open with the keys in it? Now, most of these people, if not all of these people, would admit that they do have walls around their house, and they do have a front door that they lock, and they do so because they want their family, the people that they're in charge of being over, the people that they're supposed to take care of, to be safe. So this claim of open borders, no walls, and any discussion of a wall is somehow evil is just hypocritical and is duplicitous of these people, and they know it. They have walls around their house, and many of these people send their kids to private schools that have a fence or a wall around the school, and there's security there. So a wall and security is not synonymous with xenophobia, racism, bigotry, and evil. Because if it is, the people that are complaining about it are evil in and of themselves, because they have the same thing they're complaining about in their private lives. Another thing that we need to correct, Tony, is this claim that somehow what's going on right now is akin to Nazi concentration camps or Japanese internment camps. Well, it's baloney, and it's insulting. It's just asinine. And here's why. The Jews weren't trying to get into Germany to benefit from all of the rights and privileges and freedoms of Germany. The Jews that were being put in concentration camps were the victims of Germany conquering their nations, i.e. Poland and whatnot, and then enslaving those Jews in concentration camps and killing them. We're not conquering Mexico. We're not going over and conquering Colombia or Guatemala or Ecuador and then bringing people here to put them in internment camps. This is crazy to equate this with Nazi Germany or the Japanese internment camps. By the way, the Japanese internment camps, we intern citizens, American citizens, and that was wrong. What we're doing right now is trying to deal with the illegal immigration. Now, I can talk to the issue of the biblical response to the stranger among you if you want me to go down that path, but I'm going to take a breath here and let you redirect.
Well, I mean, I in the scripture would back the idea up that a nation has a right to have borders and have a right to secure those borders. So, I mean, that's a given. I mean, that at least it should be. Now, I agree there are some who believe we should have open borders, that somehow that is unchristian to have closed borders. Not true. I mean, it's clear. A nation without borders is not a nation. The question here is, how do we balance the rule of law with, And that means enforcing the law on the borders. When you come into the country illegally, that is breaking the law. So how do you do that in a way that is compassionate? And in this case, the compassion is being, the emotions being driven by the fact that children, small children, being separated from their parents. Now, I've talked about that on the program earlier in the week, how that same thing happens domestically. But that said, how do we balance all these things? The command to care for the widow, the orphan, the alien, and at the same time uphold the rule of law.
Context and jurisdiction. You know, in the New Testament, the Greek word for love, there's several different words. We know that there's eros, there's agape, there's phileo. We know that there are various different Greek words for what we use, you know, what we refer to in terms of just one word, and that's love. In other words, love can take on various different meanings in Greek. We know that. The same is true in the Old Testament with regard to the Hebrew word for stranger. And it's a matter of jurisdiction. For example, in Leviticus, when we're told to take care of the stranger among you, it's referring to a good translation or a parallel would be the convert. In other words, the alien that comes into your country and wants to convert to being American, somebody that is interested in becoming part of your system and embracing your values and embracing everything that you hold dear. In other words, the person that's coming in through the front door and wants to become part of your family, part of your nation, and become a citizen. That's what the word stranger refers to in Hebrew when Leviticus uses it. It doesn't mean opening your doors up to every single individual that wants to come in, some of nefarious purposes and means. It right. doesn't mean that you break down all of your laws and you ignore the legal system and you ignore the security of the people that you're in charge of taking care of. Proof to the point, Tony, is read the entire book of Nehemiah. It's a story about rebuilding a wall. Okay, Nehemiah
well, but even,
was rebuilding a wall.
But going back to Leviticus, even so, where it says there will be one law for the stranger and the native born. So the idea is just what you're saying, is that they want to abide by the customs and the laws of this land. That is the deal. It's a two-part deal. You do not deny them justice, but they embrace the laws and the standard of justice that you have.
And, spot on.
And so what's happening here, by wanting to not enforce the law in a perverse sense, even though we're trying to be compassionate, or we think we are, by not enforcing the law, we're actually denying justice to the very weak and defenseless children who are being drug across the border, in some cases being trafficked.
And we know that this is a case. In fact, Jake Tapper put out a tweet, I think it was yesterday, just recently, where he cited a recent document that has been uncovered by the ACLU, some 30,000 pages documenting atrocities that have been committed by United States Border Security over the years. He doesn't cite the facts here, and here's my point. Tapper cites all these atrocities that have taken place underneath the United States Border Security personnel, but the dates for those atrocities are 2009 through 2014. Who was president then? It wasn't Donald Trump. So this is an issue that's pervasive beyond the current administration in terms of children being abused either by our own or by the coyotes and the cartel that traffics them into the United States for a profit. And we know that's the case. The left and the right both know that's the case. So what do we need to do as Christians to support those that are being taken advantage of, those that are the victims of this process? If there are no laws, we lose.
I say we enforce the law.
Exactly.
I think that is how we show compassion. And I think the president is you know, threading this needle appropriately at great cost, I should say, to the American people. And that's okay. That's if the American people want to do that. And I'm for keeping families together. That means we have to have special housing. They're going to have to go by the court and fight this thing so they can stay for longer than 20 days because the process takes longer. But we enforce the law. We keep families together. But as we're seeing, that's not satisfying many on the other side of the political aisle in the Democratic Party. They don't want laws at all. And I would argue that the failure to enforce law is the opposite of showing compassion and love.
If there is no law, there is no justice. Because like David Horowitz said in his ideological autobiography, where he talks about why he converted from being a liberal to being a conservative, he said he suddenly woke up one day and realized that his progressive worldview would lead to nothing but the rule of the gang rather than the rule of law. If there is no law, there is no justice. You can't have justice without a judge, and you can't have a judge who is impartial unless there's an objective standard, a measuring rod outside of those things being measured, a law that guides that judge. Otherwise, he's going to digress into power and privilege. And that's, I have difficulty with this executive order, because we are a nation of laws. We're not a nation of men. And I guarantee you, it won't take 5 minutes. In fact, it's probably already happened today when I wasn't paying attention to the news. There will be a lawsuit filed against the Trump mm-hmm. administration because of yeah. this executive order. They'll yeah. say that it's illegal. It's unconstitutional. And the left is admitting that a law is important, because they'll challenge Donald Trump with what? A law. Therefore, we have to be a nation of laws if we're going to have any sense of justice. Those laws must be enforced.
Well, I agree with you. I was in a conversation with some of the White House earlier today and the Department of Justice as well. They've got 20 days, and they're going to have to be back trying to get extensions anyway, because the court has said you can't keep these juveniles for over 20 days in confinement, even though they're with their families. But here's the situation. As you know, the previous administration, there was a law, but they weren't enforcing it. They were choosing not to enforce the criminal law of those coming across the border with children. And as a result, we saw about a 315% 315% of those who were claimed to have children that were theirs were not. About 315% of the cases, an increase in about 315% of the cases of people claiming to have children that were theirs and they weren't, just in the last couple of years. So children are clearly being exploited on the border. Dr. Pipe, we're out of time. Folks can be looking for your piece tomorrow in the Washington Times.
Actually, I'm submitting it tomorrow, but it'll come out Sunday afternoon.
Okay. Well, we'll have them looking out for it over the weekend. As always, great to have you. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Blessings.
All right. Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Folks, this is a problem. And again, the problem of illegal immigration, it needs a comprehensive solution. Disappointed the House did not pass the bill earlier today. Make this a matter of prayer. I mean, really, make it a matter of prayer. All right, out of time. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.